It always amazes me. I remember when I used to go to the club and the music would be banging from the inside as we were waiting in line to get in. And we'd have the cover charge. We'd have the cover charge in our hands. Got that 2-for-1 drink special money in our back pocket. And outside, while the music was banging from the inside, we was already partying. Wasn't gonna get nothing out of that night except a hangover, potential future child support. And yet we was dancing our way on in. The music was bumping just a second ago, and everybody was coming down with their tithe, their offering, and we was dropping it in like, this better work. And everybody else was just sitting around, and wasn't nobody bumping, wasn't nobody like, yeah, none of that. Knowing that this part of the service that just passed us was actually a time for kingdom investment. And after you invest into that kingdom, this kingdom, the rewards will be great. Amen? So if you can party for the enemy, oh God, you better learn how to party for God. Amen. Today, the sermon was supposed to be entitled, and you can still put the flyer up. It was supposed to be entitled, Because He Got Up. After being at my job Tuesday, we have something called spiritual reflection on Tuesdays. And as a consequence, we began to sit back and decide, talk about what it was that we were reflecting on all the week long. One of the guys said, I've been wondering where I would be on Friday when everything began to go down, when they snatched Jesus up and begin the torture. He said, I wonder what disciple I would be. This had me thinking, so I posed this question to the ministry team. I said, would you die with Jesus that weekend? And let me tell y'all got some saved pastors in the making. Because everybody said to me, I'm going to stand, you know, Kenneth, I think Kenny says, I'm like, I'm going to stand on business when it come to Jesus. Kenneth said, I've been in two wars. I've looked death in the eye. I ain't afraid. I got to say, I'm going to die with Jesus. Angel, did we touch it? Did you touch it? You said you going to die with him, right? You die. Huh? She said, I'm standing on it. And I tried to, you know, everybody was, you know, and so I said this. I said, okay. So Norlisha and I talked and I said, okay, let me repose this question. What if you were going to die like Jesus did? So respectfully, and we thank God for all that Kenneth done in serving his country, amen, and keeping us safe. But that's gonna be a bullet. You're gonna be out. This was something different. So Norlisha comes back, even though we had this conversation, and she confronts me in public, and she says, I stand on what I said. I would like to think that I wouldn't, but we's gonna get beat up together or something like that, because I ain't letting Jesus go out like that. Everybody else just says, I'm gonna die with him. Call a little attitude and thread a little bit. You know, I said I'm gonna die with him. So I waited all night long. And I woke up the next morning and I said, I'll tell you what I need you to do. I need you to go find a needle and stick yourselves 3 times on the hand. Then come back and tell me that you're still ready to die like he died. Nobody has spoke to me yet. And I just felt in my spirit that some people was looking at my post going, what's wrong with him? Why would he? Hey, man. That's what you say. Oh, King Pilate, I'm diabetic. I'd wish that you'd not crucify me. Yeah. Lord, so we bless God. But I'm going to tell you something. I am encouraged because they stood their ground. Amen. And we have to get to the point because there is going to come a point in time where you're going to have to choose. And truth be told, you've been choosing all your life. Yeah, you've been choosing to stand on business when it comes to Jesus all your life. The question is, how have you been choosing? Amen? Today I'd like to talk to you from a topic called, He Didn't Call It Off. He didn't call it off. And we want to thank God for all of our visitors. We don't really like that word. We call you extended family, and we pray to see you again. Amen. Bless God for you coming and spending time with us today here at the Unity Worship Center. Today, all over the world, Christians have gathered together to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And it's not just about what he did that gets me. It's more so the why he did what he did. It's baffling, it's mind-blowing, and if I'm just going to be real, it's downright crazy to think about the amount of love, the type of love that he exemplified for us by what he went through for us on the cross. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 8, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. He was willing to die for people who had not yet chose him. For people today that have yet to choose him. And here's the hit. He knew that some wouldn't choose him. Yeah. Oh, God. Even after what he went through on the cross. But not even that diminishes his love for us. The divine, while I was in prison, I read a book entitled The Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. The Divine Revelation of Hell. And I suggest it to anybody who is in love with Jesus because it gives you a whole different perspective. And she wasn't just an author, but she was an international evangelist, so well known and respected in the Christian community. And in this book, she explains how Jesus came to her while she was sleeping. And he came to her for 3 nights in a row. And the first night he explained to her that he was going to take her to hell so that she could experience it. And after 3 days, the 3 days were done, he wanted her to write a book on what she had experienced. He wanted her to write the book because he knew that she was highly respected by many and they would believe her. Now, isn't this crazy? Jesus has to find somebody to speak on his behalf. Because in the eyes of the world, a human's reputation is better than God's. Oh, man. It's deep. And some of you might be sitting here today saying, not me. Ain't no human's reputation or ain't no human's intelligence deeper to me than God's. And sure it is. That's why when chaos hits our lives, oftentimes we call somebody rather than call him. And we have to be reminded, even as Christians, we have to be reminded to call him. That's when they say stuff like, have you prayed? She said that every night he took her to hell, Jesus would weep. Oh, Lord. They would be going through the situation of getting down through there, the directions of getting there, and he would weep and he would cry. He would just cry as the people in hell would beg him for another chance. They promised they would serve him forever. Just get me out of here. And she asked him, she said, why are you crying? And his response was this: I still love them. Amen. And though I love them, watch this, and I can release them, I can't release them. Because if I did that, that would make me a lie and the whole thing would be destroyed. The point that I want you to catch is that even in the situation of him in hell, he loves them so deeply. Have you ever had someone love you so deeply that no matter what you did, they would forgive you? Oh, Lord. And not just forgive you, but they wouldn't even bring up what you did in the past, every now and again, for whatever reason. You know how people do. They forgive you until it's convenient not to. They forget about what you did to them until it's convenient not to. Amen? But aren't you glad that you have a God that doesn't keep score? Don't get me wrong, he is not and will never be okay with sin, but because he loves us and because he understands us, he's patient. Amen. Far more patient than you and I would ever be or have been. Isn't it amazing that we can be so impatient with people who didn't die for us, who we didn't die for, but Jesus is so patient for people, us, that he did die for. Think about that the next time you're getting ready to go off. I'm so impatient with someone that I didn't die for, but the Savior that I serve is so patient for me, and he did die for me. Real quickly, I'd like to show you scripturally how he's patient and he understands us. And the reason that I'm going to do this is because I don't feel that the usual Resurrection Sunday rap is necessary today. So I'm not going to hoop. I'm not going to entertain you. But my mission and agenda here today is to do my best to share with you his love for us. And to be quite honest, I nor anyone truly understands the depths of his love for us. But I hope you will get what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to convey. A lot of people in the world believe that because they've been foul for a while now, and even what seems like winning in life, though they aren't right with God, they've begun to believe that his coming back is just loose rap. That maybe, just maybe, there will be no day when we will be judged for our unbelief. But let me show you what Jesus said on the matter in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 9, I'm sorry. And he says this, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse number 9, of sin because, watch this, they do not believe in me. They do not believe in me. Did you see verse 9? Or did you hear it? The sin is they didn't believe. And since they didn't believe, watch this, they did not follow. Since they didn't believe him, they didn't follow him. Now, here's what's amazing to me about that part right there. We will follow people that we know ain't right. Huh? We will follow people. We'll follow people in business. We'll follow people in relationships, and I can prove it. How many people in here today, if you'll just be real, have been in relationships where you knew who you was with wasn't no good, but you stayed in it for a minute? Y'all ain't putting y'all's hands up, and y'all in church, for real. That's where you want to be when the Lord comes back. Okay. Yeah. Because if it went down like that, yeah, that's who you'd be with now, the very first time. Amen. And so not only did you stay with him for a minute, the end result was you were stressed out, half crazy, talking about you ain't never gonna love again. Well, if you knew they was foul, yet you stayed with them, you were following their lead, not them following yours. I'll leave it right there. I want y'all to come back. Jesus said, the sin is that they didn't believe, and since they didn't believe, they didn't follow him, and in the kingdom court of law, that's a crime. And what happens when you're found guilty of a crime? You get convicted. Jesus said, I wish we could get that scripture up there. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, one of his functions will be to convict. And what is most basic, the most basic sin of the world, is not all the stuff that you find yourself doing that ain't right. The most basic sin which the world is found guilty, Jesus says, simply is unbelief. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is at work in the world simply because the world does not believe in Christ. But once a person responds to the Spirit's conviction and turns to faith in Christ, the other sins he practiced will be taken care of. It is the sin of unbelief, a refusal, watch this, to trust Jesus, that's the real issue. Here's the two scriptural points that he shows, that I want to show you, that he's patient and that he understands. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the New Living Translation says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. See, what I want you to see is God ain't lying. He just loves us. He's not okay with it when we are not living right, but he's patient because he loves us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And we know that he understands us because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, in the New Living Translation, it says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did it without sin. Now I want you to hear the amplified version of that, okay? Because this is fire right here. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is, and the high priest is Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations. But one who has been tempted, watch this, knowing exactly how it feels to be human. In every respect, as we are, yet without committing any sin. He understands us. You catch that? Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that this Jesus that we rock with, he understands us. He knows exactly how it feels to be human. He understands the battles that we deal with, so he's patient and loving. And because you might be getting away with something, don't really mean you getting away with nothing. He's just, oh Lord, have mercy. He's just falling back, hoping that you will get it. Okay, here's the verse that God put on my heart for this Resurrection Sunday service, and then we out. Matthew chapter 26, 48 through 54, New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 26, 48 through 54, New Living Translation. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him a kiss. Can I just park right there for a second and just go ahead and suggest you might want to be careful about who you let kiss you. Some of them kisses, is the kiss of death. Lord, give me strength. So Judas, verse for number 49, Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and he gave him a kiss. Verse number 50, Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus, talking about Peter, pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. And Jesus says, put away your sword, Jesus told him. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. And then check this out. This is what got me right here. He said, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now? Here's the part I want you to catch. Verse number 53, Jesus says to Peter, don't you realize that I could call my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? Oh, hold on. Let me tell you why that's deep. I want to show you why that's deep. Because we find in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44, Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44, 39 through 44, the New King James Version, this is why this is deep. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. We're talking about Jesus. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn for them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, catch this, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And being in agony, somebody say agony. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And then his sweat become like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You ever been stressed? Oh God. Have you ever been stressed? Stressed to the point to where you sweat? You ever been that stressed? I've sat in a courtroom a time or two, and I've been stressed, amen. And even though they was talking about taking my future, even though they was talking about taking my freedom away, I've had people with guns in my face, and I've never sweat to the point of blood. The scripture says he's in agony. Lord, have mercy. His sweat is falling down to the ground. The Bible says he's in agony. And the reason that he was going through it like this is because, watch this, he knew what was on the way. He knew what was going to go down. I love one of my brothers, Thomas Jarber. He says it like this. He says, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he got a preview of what he was about to go through. He got a preview of what he was about to go through. And what he was about to go through was this. Mimi, can you take care of that? What he was about to go through was this, prayerfully, this. We've done test runs and all of that, so this should be, but if not, I won't. Are we good? If we're not good, just let me know. I don't want to prolong. It's coming. Can you hit them lights, please? No, that's you. I need the volume. The volume.
I have to take a microphone upstairs, please. Let it keep playing. Someone take a microphone upstairs. And I want you to pay attention to it. The same. Cut the lights on, please. Try as Mel Gibson, try as he did. We understand history teaches us that this was nothing compared to what he really went through. It was so horrific that they say that his body looked like hamburger meat. And that his mother, she could not recognize the son she had bore. The film enactment is 4 minutes and I believe 7 seconds long. But it was far longer than 4 minutes and 7 seconds. The most horrific beating to have ever have happened. My family and I moved into a new home over the weekend, and my wife and Alicia and her and Alicia were nailing pictures up. And Kevin and Robert had been nailing things around the house with, and I had a nail, but I forgot it, but it, you know, the size of a nail that you nail in to put your plaque up or a picture on the wall. You can deal with that in your mind's eye. And while being around all of the hammering this weekend, when I noticed the nails, I couldn't help but think about when they nailed Jesus to the cross. But the nail wasn't like the one that's in your head. The nails that they used on my Savior was more like this. Mimi. Now I need you to understand, they're taking these nails and people think that they nailed them in his hands. That would have been if he was lucky. But they drive this nail. Oh Lord, have mercy. They drive this nail through. What is this? Ouch. You could have told me it was thorns. They drive this nail, which is far thicker than this. Now, could you deal, how many of you could deal with this being driven in your hands for something that you didn't do? For some people that you know ain't gonna appreciate what you're doing. Who in here could take this? And if you could take this, then the question becomes, could you take that? And I know when you hear the word thorns, you think about, and you know, we do these little reenactments, and I got it. And you think about thorns, you think about something like that, right? And that'll hurt. Any of my ministers want to come down here and stick yourself? That'll hurt. Would you say that would hurt? But this is what he actually, and show me the other picture, Mimi, please. This is what he actually had smashed down into his cranium. I need you to understand the level of the sacrifice that he went through. How many of you could take that? How many of you could take it being smashed down on the top of your cranium? And all the while they're spitting on him. And said they cast lots for his clothes. And, you know, they make it real pretty on the pictures because, you know, they got him on the cross and they've got a apron around his genitals and his private parts. But the reality is they did this to this man naked in front of his mother. And so I heard some of you gasp when they threw the flog into his skin and ripped it out and it brought a part of his skin out. But can I tell you that they did that over and over and over and over again? And he didn't call it off. At any time in this situation, he could have called it off. Lord, have mercy. And when I think about this, all I can think about him saying to Peter is, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for 1,000 of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly. I don't have to go through this. I ain't done nothing wrong. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I ain't done nothing wrong but loved y'all. Am I talking to somebody in here today? I've done nothing wrong but loved y'all. And on the strength that I love you, this is what I'm willing to go through. Don't you realize I could call my Father for 1,000 of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly?
And he knew he could have walked away from this torture at any time, but he wanted to because he didn't want to because he loves us the way that he does. He didn't call it off. If you look at verse number 54, the last verse that I gave you, verse number 54, it says, but if I did, oh God, but if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describes what must happen now? Can I just go ahead and translate what he's saying to you? What he was saying to Peter? But if I call it off, the people in 2024 won't stand a chance. If I call it off, this heroin epidemic that nobody has answers for, they'll never figure it out. If I call it off, domestic violence killing spouses will be through the roof. If I call it off, men will forget their natural use for a woman, and women will do with women foul things that should not be described. If I call it off, all the kids stand up. All the kids stand up. If I call it off, Satan has his way with each and every one of them. If I call it off, you're looking at your next gang of drug dealers, strippers, and homosexuals, and lesbians, and murderers, and robbers, and you understand what I'm saying to you? If I call it off, y'all can sit down, baby. So instead, oh Lord, I'll die. Instead of calling it off, buddy, I'm done. Instead of calling it off, I'll just die. And I won't just die. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm gonna die horribly. I'm gonna die horrifically. Tuesday, we were reflecting on my job, and somebody said something that was so powerful. I've never heard this. He said, I don't think the beating was as bad as the sin, because he was a virgin to sin. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And if you know anything about sin, sin's not laid back. Sin's not chilled. It might present itself to be chilled, but ain't nothing chilled about sin. Sin is aggressive. Even when it's being sneaky, it's aggressive. And could you imagine this virgin to sin being infiltrated, penetrated by the aggressiveness of sin? And the sin was so heavy on him. The sin was so heavy on him that it caused the Father in heaven to look away. And it was to the point to where Jesus said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Now we know in Scripture it says, I want to show you this because this is deep and I'm done. We know in Scripture, Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the crown of thorns in this man's head has set in delusion. Oh, because I told you that I'd never leave you nor forsake you, but I can't look at you right now. Because every sin ever committed is on my shoulders. It was the love of it. It was the love of it that made him take 40 slashes less one. It was the love of it. Everything that you saw and so much more on that video was for you. It was for me. And how we can just continue on life. Continue on in life like it just ain't no thing, I'll never understand.
We come every Sunday for a cross that we won't serve, nor a cross that we will bear. And as the Bible says, these things ought not be so. He didn't call it off so you could be covered. He didn't call it off so that you could have a second chance. He didn't call it off so that you could have a right at the tree of life, so that he could protect you when the enemy came. He didn't call it off. Some of you have sat in ICU rooms with your life in the balance, but on the strength that he didn't call it off. The seasoned saints say, he made old death behave. Should have been sleeping in my grave, but he made old death behave. And on the strength that he got up, we can get up. Here's the crazy part. 3 days later, after the most horrific moment in history, oh Lord, have mercy. After the most cruel beating to ever happen, 3 days later, this Jesus gets up. That's no small, try dying and get up. Y'all didn't have the right emotion right there. Try dying and then get up and tell me how it worked out for you. But here's what I want you to do. This is the thought I was thinking about, because we studied this Tuesday. When he showed up to everybody, he was still scarred and marred and brutally beaten, and all of the scars was on him. So in other words, he was still feeling it. Oh man. Could you imagine when he got up with his body like hamburger meat? Could you imagine when he got up, the pain? But because of the love, because of the love. Listen, we have to come to the point in church where we stop entertaining you. And we have to give you realization on what this man did. And he was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And you ought to be happy about that, because if he was only 50% man and 50% God, only 50% of your problems could you be delivered from. You need to understand the reality of what he done, the seriousness of what he done. And he done it so that you wouldn't be broken. He done it so that you wouldn't be depressed. He done it so that you wouldn't be a drug addict. He done it so that you wouldn't be an alcoholic. He done it so that you wouldn't be suicidal. He done it so that you wouldn't be crazy. He done it so that you wouldn't need Ritalin. He done it so that you understand. He done it. 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 So that you wouldn't have to go through what we go through. And I don't know, call me crazy, but I just think it's wise to take him up on his offer. Amen. Listen, if you're tired, and one of the things about being in tune with the Holy Spirit is you got to know the climate of the room. You got to know the mood of the room. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if you're tired of things being the way that they've always been, I think the streets used to say, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then insanity is doing the same things over but expecting different results. I just come to tell you about a man that has the power. I come to tell you about a book that has the power to set you free. I come to tell you about a man that's got a plan that is so cold that it literally transforms your entire life. And you can see pain transform into joy. You can see peace transform into confusion transform into peace. I'm trying to introduce you to a man that loved you so much that he done for you what nobody else on this planet would do for you. You don't have to be hurting no more. You don't have to be broken no more. You ain't got to be struggling in depression no more. You ain't got to be thinking about taking your life no more. I know a man, and his name is Jesus. And this ain't just cliche church rap. I'm telling you that at the worst time in my life, suicidal, about to slit my wrist in the old Louisville jail, he sent a man that says, listen here, Jesus don't want you to kill yourself. And if you'll just listen to me for a minute, if you'll just give him a chance, he said, he told me to tell you that they ain't going to do to you what they claim they're going to do to you, facing 20 to life in one city, 10 flat in another. Muslim before prison. So depressed that I was so sick and tired of me that I ordered 2 razors. And the plan was to take my life because I could not see me doing life in prison. I could not wake up every day thinking about how I left my kids for dead. I could not wake up every day thinking about how I sold drugs to my mama. I couldn't wake up every day thinking about how, you know, I pulled pistols on family members about paper. I couldn't wake up every day thinking about how messed up, how everything I touched, I messed up. And the enemy, he had a plan. Because when they called razors and I ordered 2, right after they called Jim. And if you know anything about any correctional facility, especially the Louisville jail, they will never call razors and gym at the same time. People will be killed. But he called razors, and then he called gym so that I'd be alone. Because the enemy knew that I was dead serious about taking my life. And a man walked back in, and he said to me, Brother Lyons, I need to talk to you. And I said, talk to me when you get back. I knew that if I didn't do this now, I never would. He said, no, I need to talk to you right now. And I said, man, I told you, talk to me when you get back from gym. I'll be here. And he was a timid, soft man. He had never done anything. He had never had a record. And the only reason why he died in prison was because he killed a man who molested his daughter. So I respected him. And I said, man, I need you. So I woof real hard. Man, I'm going to tell you one more time. Go on to gym and we'll rap when you get back. And he just says, scared. He just falls out of his mouth. Jesus doesn't want you to kill yourself. And he said, to tell you, they're not going to do to you what they threaten. I cried so much, I lost weight. Right in that moment, I cried so much. And this man sat here and he told me all about my life. And there was no way that he could know the things he knew. A week later, I went to a church service and these little old black ladies from Bates Memorial came into the jail and they was preaching crazy. And all I know is that even though I had been Muslim the majority of my life, I found myself at the altar. And the lady says, and I just look up and I'm here. And she says, baby, are you ready? And I'm just crying profusely. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm ready. I can't take no more. Have you ever been to the place to where you can't take no more? Where so much is coming down all around you that every time you turn around, it's just another brick or another, it's just some type of discrepancy, some type of issue that's just trying to take you out. And you just, sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you just get tired. And this Jesus steps in on the scene of my life. And he began to turn things around. Satan put me in a cell. They moved me. And back then, they used to classify you by your gang affiliation. And he put me on a floor where they should have killed me 30 times. But by the time that I walked out of there, we were all doing Bible study together. I want you to know, he says, I'll put a table, oh God, in the presence of your enemies. He says that he that keeps his mind on me, I will keep at perfect peace. You understand these promises?
He says, those that keep their mind stayed on me, they will by no means be put to shame. What I'm trying to tell you today is that you can invest your everything in him and you will not be put to shame. He wants to give you beauty for your ashes. If there's anybody in the building, God ain't expecting you to start talking thee-eth and thou-eth and quoting scriptures all day long and yah-bah-bah-bah-bah-bah. He's not expecting any of that. All he wants you to do is to trust him. All he wants is you to trust him. God today is looking for your yes. He's looking for your yes. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. And he's God. He's so God that he's just, and he understands that you ain't gonna change years overnight. But it starts with steps, baby. It just starts with steps. If we have anybody in the building today that says, I'm ready to take a step or two. I can't keep it the way it's been. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I gotta do something different. I'm tired of my peace being distorted. I'm tired of waking up wishing I didn't. I'm tired of every time I turn around, there's something else trying to take me out. I'm tired of feeling like I'm in this world all by myself. If we have anybody in the building today who says, I want to make a change, I offer you the invitation to come on down. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And what I love about the Spirit of the Lord being here is that he never shows up and say, what we going to do about what we got going on? No, no, no. When God shows up, he shows up with provision. Yeah, he shows up. He says, don't you worry about it. This is not unto your death. This is not unto your death. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. If you're tired of battling with depression, I'm not telling you that overnight, boom, boom, just like that, it's going to go away. But this book, and if you follow the steps, it says that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Anybody need their mind transformed today? Anybody's mind? No. Suffer not the little children. Jesus says, suffer not the little children. If you need your mind renewed today, come on down. You can come on down. Babies included. Kids can come down. You ain't got to look around. You understand? This is for you too. He means this for you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.